Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in the 16th chapter of Leviticus, and we have been talking about the Day of Atonement. In last session, we spent quite a bit of time talking about the fact that these procedures that God set out for the Day of Atonement, they really had to be carried out by faith. And we were drawing the correlation of the importance of operating in faith today, just like the people under the Old Covenant had to operate in faith, we too must operate in faith. And as Pete was speaking out of his heart and by the Holy Spirit talking about faith and what this means, I had some things rolling around on the inside of me I'm going to share with you. But when you think about this faith in God, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, with faith, and first of all, I'm going to repeat a scripture that you all know because we've heard so often. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, when we hear the Word of God, that faith is going to bring trust. And with trust comes a confidence. Now, I want you to, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? But to use one of Pete's lines, that's more profound than you think. You can't have faith if you're not operating in trust. The two go hand in hand. So faith's focus, if we're talking about faith in God, the Word of God, faith's focus is going to be on God. Now here again, that sounds simple, doesn't it? But I'm going to take you back to these Israelites. And I want you to imagine you're one of these people at a day at the Day of Atonement. You're one of the people that have picked out the two goats. And these are good goats. You've helped choose them. Their lot's going to be cast on these goats. Who's going to be the Lord's goat? Who's going to be the scapegoat? Now, these people, mind you, have heard the Word of God because it was spoken through Moses. So God's Word was spoken. Now, you're right there with me. We're right at the tabernacle. Are we going to trust? Are we going to believe enough that we trust enough that our sins are going to be atoned by these two goats? Do we trust that when Aaron as high priest speaks all of our sins over this goat's head, that that goat's going to carry these sins to a place that's not going to come back? Do we have confidence in God's Word that that's going to be true, that that will happen? Okay, let's flip it to the New Covenant, because we're in the New Covenant. You can pick any word that you want that God has spoken to your heart. Do you have enough trust and confidence in that spoken Word of God that it has to be true? That you will rely so much on that Word that you don't have to do anything, you don't have to perform, you don't have to work, that Word will come to pass. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on Him will have everlasting life. Well, that's for me. Do I believe that enough that I know in my heart that it's true? I'm going to have confidence in that. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, as my Redeemer. I not only believe it, I trust it. I don't have to do a thing in the world to make that happen because it's already been done. My confidence, my focus, my trust is going to be on Jesus. I don't have to perform. I don't have to work to earn salvation. There's nothing that I have to do or work to be righteous before God. I am the righteousness of God. How do I know this? Because God said so in His Word, and He spoke it in my heart, and I trust it enough, I believe it enough, I'm going to act on it by resting in it, not by trying to perform. I hope that makes sense to you. This has come alive on the inside of me because some of you may relate to this. I've made no bones about my past. I have in the past been a very works-oriented person. I thought the only way to earn favor would be through my works. Favor with man would be through what I do and how I do it. If I do it well enough, then I'll be liked, then I'll be accepted. Well, I transfer that over. I thought, well, you know, God's the creator of man. I transfer that same thought and belief right over to God. I've got to perform for you. To be righteous, I've got to make sure I do enough. Let me do it the right way. Well, that's not faith. You know who that's faith in? That's faith in Heather Sykes. That's trust and confidence in what Heather does. Not what Jesus has done. Do you see the difference? So faith in God's talk is going to sound like this. God did this. Jesus did this. Jesus is going to do this. Jesus is coming again. Jesus loves me. Prideful talk and confidence in performance, Heather Sykes' performance, is going to sound like this. Well, I'm going to do this. And if I do this, then this will happen. And I'll be good enough because I'll do this. Take it back to, we're standing right in front of the tabernacle, Old Covenant. Well, if I bring this lamb, and I'm going to make sure I've got my two turtle doves, and then I'm going to be cleaned, I'm going to cleanse myself, and then I will be. But faith in God talk's going to sound like this. God said, if I bring these two turtle doves, God will accept these two turtle doves, this hyssop, this blood, all this, it will cleanse. Do you see the difference? It's. Do you see where the shift in balance is? True faith is a belief that goes so deeply inside your heart that there's a trust and confidence that comes with it. In God alone. Has nothing to do with our performance. But so often, we get into that performance side of things. And Pete mentioned it even with the Israelites. Their mindset shifted. Instead of a focus and trust and confidence and faith in God, they switched it to works. And we miss it when we do that. Everything with God, I believe, comes right down to a matter of the heart. The reason why I can say that is because God is spirit. He's not looking at your outward man, your performance. He's looking at the heart. This trust issue is a big issue for me. It might not be for you, but for me personally, it's a biggie. And when I am truly in faith, and I truly have heard God speak to my heart, there is such a trust inside my heart, I know He can't be wrong. I'm confident in that. But if I'm not trusting, I can tell you right now, I'm not believing. If I'm not believing, I don't have faith. And you know the wonderful thing about the Lord, the God we serve, is He's so merciful. I say this to y'all all the time, and maybe it'll come alive in your heart, but our God is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Y'all, that is alive in my heart. I believe that. I trust it with every fiber of my being. I am absolutely confident in that. There is nothing you could say to me to tell me otherwise. That's faith. With faith comes trust. With that trust comes confidence. And then you know what's going to happen? There'll be a corresponding action. But it'll be because it proceeds right out of your heart. Because you love the Lord. Because you trust Him. Because you're confident in what He's told you. And because you want to do it for Him. It won't be about pride. It won't be about, I got to do this to earn something, right standing. I got to do this so I don't get in trouble. Don't want them to be mad at me. I don't ever think like that. Because I have faith and trust and confidence in who He is for me, who He says He is. There's a difference. You know, we've been talking about this and talking about it and talking about it. And I think it's because the Lord is wanting us to check our hearts. Do you believe up here? Or do you know in here? There is such a difference. And I have to get real with God. I get real before Him. The other night I just went home and I just cried out to Him. Because you know why? I'm not just in relationship with Him. I can fellowship with Him. And He is my best friend. He is my confidant. And so I can just say, Lord, I don't understand this. And as I was talking to Him, I was saying, I. And all of a sudden it hit me like a load of bricks. Father, forgive me. I'm operating in pride. And it didn't even hit me until I started listening to myself. I. If every one of your sentences start with I, there's a problem. My sentences should have been starting with Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, You do this. You did this. I trust You to do this. Well, the Israelites had to operate that same way on the Day of Atonement. And every single Levitical law we've been reading about, every cleansing, they had to operate that same, with that same trust, that same confidence, that faith in God. We serve a good, good Father.
You think about the Pharisee and the publican. What's the Pharisee doing? I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. I'm not like him. You understand? People today do the same thing. Church people do the same thing. It's a self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But what does the publican do? He recognizes who God is and who he is. And he just humbles himself before the Lord. I need mercy. The Pharisee says, I'm good. The publican says, I'm a rascal. I need some mercy here. You see the difference? You know, we just before we came out here, we were just talking about how, you know, the Day of Atonement, you're going through a protocol. Moses, the law of Moses, had all this laid out. How the Day of Atonement was to transpire, what was to be done. And if you look at the Levitical sacrifices and all this, it's all laid out. And God's the one that laid it out. He's the one that spelled it out. But when you get over to 1 Samuel, the second chapter, starting with verse 12,
mm-hmm.
You look at, this is when Eli is the high priest. and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they're priests. But they're called sons of Belial. They have no respect for God, yet they're offering the sacrifices. They're going through the motions, but they're not thinking about God. They're thinking about themselves. So when the people bring the sacrifice, well, I'm going to take this portion, I'm going to take this portion. It was all about them. You with me? There's more to it than living in the house of God. There's more to it than going to church.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard issue.
Yeah.
Are we doing this for God? Or are we doing it for ourselves? This came to me just a few minutes ago. He said again, though, you know, the psalmist said, you didn't take delight in sacrificing this animal, and the writer of Hebrews said, you know, is quoting concerning Jesus from the psalm, but a body you prepared for me. And I told Heather, I said, you know, if you think about it, these bodies have been prepared. Now, what are we going to do with them? It's God is, God takes the spirit and puts in that body, okay? And so God looks at that body. This body is prepared. Now, is this body going to serve itself? Or does this body have the recognition, I'm here on earth for God's service? Am I going to put this house and put attention on God? Or am I just going to put attention on pleasure? Service or pleasure? You with me? That body, you choose how what you do with that body. Whether it brings you pleasure or whether it brings God pleasure. It's a choice, right? What am I going to do with it? Am I going to serve God? Am I going to put my attention on the Lord? Now, that doesn't mean you don't take care of business that needs to be taken care of. But whatever you're doing in word or deed, you do in the name of the Lord. You follow me? I do things, but I do it in the name of the Lord. I just do it because I love the Lord. I love helping people because to me it's a way to just demonstrate the love of God to people. Not for accolades, not for money. You understand? Then we miss it. If you do something and a person wants to pass, I don't want your money. Well, why do you want to do that? Because God loves you. That's why. Well, I don't deserve it. I said, no. None of us deserve it. But God just wants to pour His love out on us. But as Heather was talking, He's wanting us to have such trust and confidence in Him that it eradicates the fear. And when you get rid of the fear, there's the faith. You're persuaded God's right and I want to do what God wants. Day of Atonement, oh, they went through the motions a lot. But look what happened to them. They turned away from God. They wanted a king. We want to be like everybody else. God told Samuel, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. They don't want me to be their king. People don't want Jesus to be their king. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He's my king. He's my ruler. He's my life. You understand? I don't want God to leave me to me. I've already seen what I could do with my life. And I want the Lord to use me. for His glory. You follow me? I can say that, but do I actually believe that enough that when the Lord prompts us that we follow the promptings? You with me? Israel went through the motions. The church today is going through the motions. God's looking for people with a heart after Him. Like David. David wasn't perfect, but his heart was perfect before the Lord. It's one thing to yield to a temptation. It's another thing to have a rebellious heart. It's another thing to be focused on something other than God. And David had a heart for God. Consequently, he had a heart for the people that he served. He served them as king. He didn't take advantage of them as king. Do you follow me? Jesus is not going to take advantage of you. And He wants us to do our part. What's our part? Believing, trusting, and just have a corresponding action to what we believe. I was thinking a while ago, I think it was in the first session, how the provisions we've made, if we'll believe, anything that you need, I said that you need. We're not talking about selfish desires. Is available. But you have to believe it. You had to exercise faith to be saved. Just like the Israelites had to exercise faith for the atonement. Well, we have to exercise faith for redemption. And as I was listening to her, I guess it was the second session because I talked in the first session, but I thought about how probably the biggest reason that people don't readily receive the Holy Spirit and speak in another language is they don't believe it. What if you believed you could? What if you believed that if you did what the Scripture said, what the Scripture say will happen, would happen? It's a matter of faith, of having the confidence in the Lord. To where people say, well, you just can't speak in tongues when you won't take. Well, obviously you haven't had the experience with the Lord. Paul said, what is that? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will. I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with understanding. And so I don't need some, you know, spectacular thing to happen to move me to pray in the Spirit, to sing in the Spirit. It's a confidence that the Spirit of God's in me. Why couldn't I pray in the Spirit? And you just do it because you believe it. More profound than you think. But that's the hang up with people. You don't think you can, you won't. But when you know you can, you will.
That really is, I don't even know the... We're using the word profound, but I don't know a better word. Maybe significant, I don't know. But we talk about, he just said it's because you don't believe it. That sounds harsh. And your head may argue back, but I do believe. Does your heart believe? Do you know it in your heart to be true? And here's, and I mentioned this earlier, but I am learning this through experience. I just have to get real before the Lord. I have to just get honest with Him. He knows it anyway. But I have to be at the point where I am ready to just truly humble myself before God.
Yes.
Push aside any pride or any lofty thoughts I may have inside of me. And just be honest with them. Lord, Your word, You tell me to believe. Help my unbelief. Help me. Your word says this, but I'm not getting this. There's a problem in the equation, and it's not You. It's got to be me. Let me just humble myself. That's how I talk to them. Lord, I know, you know, 1 + 2 = 3. If You're 1, and I'm supposed to be 2, but I don't have 3, there's a problem, and I'm it. Help me. And when I get to that point where I just humble myself, like truly in my heart, here's where I am. You know what? He has never once let me down. I have never heard from Him, "Well, You deserve it." I have never heard, "Well, You should." You know how He always responds to me? With love. You know why? Because He is love. It sounds like we've gotten way off track from the Day of Atonement. But here's the bottom line. The Day of Atonement was also a matter of the heart. For the Israelites, the Day of Atonement was a matter of the heart. If they wanted atonement, they had to believe in their heart that God was good for His word. Well, everything that we receive from the Lord is a matter of the heart. For me to say I am in right standing with God the Father, it is a matter of the heart, because I have to believe, I have to trust, I have to have confidence in the word of Jesus Christ that what He has already spoken to me through His word. If I'm not hearing Him speak, it's because I'm not in His word. I've got this post-it note. You know, I've told you about my little post-it notes. I've got 2 post-it notes up in my bathroom. And one of them says, "I'll meet you in my word anytime you want." That was spoken through a Sunday message. The Lord spoke it right through Pete Bumgarner. And you know what? He spoke that to my heart. To me, that was a personal invitation. "Heather, I'll meet you anytime you want to. I'm going to be writing my word. I promise I'll be there. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. You can trust me that you're going to find me when you seek me." And you know what? I do every time. Every time. He's always right where He says He's going to be. He's always in His word. Because He is the word. So if you're missing something, if you need something, if you need help, if you're unsure, if you're hurting, if you're in bondage, and you need Jesus, you know where to find Him. You can meet Him anytime you want to. And He's going to honor that. Y'all, this Spirit Training Center, STC Bible College, is so much more than wanting a degree to hang on the wall. It's about training your spirit by the Holy Spirit. And so that's why the Holy Spirit will move right in the middle of Leviticus chapter 16 to talk to you about faith and trust and confidence in Him. You know why? Because He loves you so much. He cares about you. He doesn't want you hurting. He doesn't want you working yourself silly. He wants you to understand that, hey, listen, guys, I've already done everything for you. Just come yoke up with me. My burden's light. I will take care of this for you. Cast your cares on me. Trust me. Follow me. Follow him right into his word. Amen.
When your confession's not working, just try honesty.
Just be honest.
You got to be honest with the Lord. And you're not deceiving him anyway, you deceive you. And I've learned over the years, just open your heart. Lord, you know me better than I know me. You know my thoughts. And so here I am, and I'm struggling. And so I'm dependent upon you to reveal to me what it is that I should do or not do. It's not as complicated as we make it. It's called childlike faith. You tell that little child, that little toddler something, and he believes it. Jump and I'll catch you. And he jumped. But see, we've been taught, well, you never can know. And yet Malachi, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no one more consistent than God, no one in his league. God said, if I'm God, I change not. Otherwise, my paraphrase, you sons of Levi, I'd consume you.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a covenant. He said, I'm going to honor my word. God honors his word. You with me? He honors his word. He wants us to honor his word. Believe me. Jesus said all things are possible to those who believe. But we want him to believe for us. That worked that way. That's why he said to just live by faith. I was thinking of the contrast between the old and the new. The Old Testament was following the laws of Moses was to be living by faith. But it was dependent upon the flesh. And the flesh was not going to live by faith. So in the new covenant, it's still the just live by faith, but it says be led by the Spirit. We have an advantage over the old covenant in that we have God's Spirit living in us to guide us to where we can live by faith because faith is spiritual. You understand? A fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Love, joy, faith. This is a fruit of the Spirit. And so where there's a lack of faith, there's a lack of union with the Spirit. Think about it. Because when we come into union with the Spirit, we hear God. And when we hear God, faith accompanies hearing. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Did you get all of your thoughts covered?
Well, my heart's clear.
Okay. If your heart's clear, then that's you got it covered.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that our time is about up here.
Wow.
So, you know, we pray before we walk into this classroom. And our heart is always that God does what he wants to do. And so we just yield ourselves. All right, Lord, we know your Spirit lives in us, so we give ourselves to you that you can say what you want to say. Now, you can take it however you like, but I believe that the Lord has spoken. Have you heard him? It's not did you hear Peter have it, but did you hear the Lord? That's the key. Okay. All right? So I feel like we obey the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great weekend and just keep your ear tuned to the right source.